Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate you. This program is all about educating seniors and their caregivers, helping them make informed decisions. This is a trusted place for you and your family. If you have a question, as always, you can visit online at Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, SeniorCareLive.com, or you can call 1-800-331-6445. All right, so today on the program, it's going to be an excellent program. Would like to welcome back my friend and special guest today, Mr. David Wiley. He's the president and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And David, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here today.
All right. So for our listeners, go ahead and write this number down if you want to reach out to Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. The number is 816-363-2600, 816-363-2600, or visit online at kchospice.org. All right. So the trees are changing colors and the air is getting kind of cool and there's a little crisp in the air and it's really hard to believe, but it looks like fall is knocking on our door.
I couldn't agree with you more, Steve, but you know, fall is a beautiful time of year, but you know, frankly, it feels like time has been suspended since, I don't know, sometime around springtime.
Yeah.
But it feels like we've also lived through several lifetimes just in the matter of months. And it's amazing to me how quickly fall has come. And, you know, I think we feel that way in about life in general as well. You know, we're always so busy responding to life that we, time frankly disappears. So, but here we are. So, and it's cool and crisp, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just looking at one of our trees the other day, big maple tree, and in all the green trees, I have this cluster of bright yellow leaves. So I know it's coming and knocking on the door. So, I'm sure your work with people receiving hospice care in your work, it becomes so much more clear that even when times are tough and life seems really crazy, there is a lot to appreciate.
You know, absolutely, Steve. And we often hear people compare the four seasons to the seasons of life. And I think that when I look at the brilliant leaf colors and how naturally we all start to take time to reconnect with our loved ones. We appreciate our blessings as we head towards Thanksgiving and we grow closer together. So, of course, this year, those things seem so much more meaningful, I think, to all of us.
And you know, earlier when you mentioned that, you know, in a blink of an eye, it's fall. It seems like all of this stuff started last spring. That does seem like a couple of years ago, and it seems like yesterday at the same time. This is just a strange kind of a time warp, I think, for most of us. But you recently celebrated your four-year anniversary as president and CEO of Kansas City Hospice, but you've been connected to the organization for much longer than that. And I understand that personally, this time of year is also a bittersweet reminder of how you first became connected with the work.
You know, Steve, thanks. You're right. I've been our CEO now for 4 years, and I couldn't be more proud of our organization and the care and support that we're providing to the community. And as you mentioned, I started my journey with Kansas City Hospice as a family member. And my mom was beautifully cared for, and she died at the Kansas City Hospice House in the fall of 2011. In fact, it was on October 1st. And it was an incredible experience for our family. I was, frankly, I was so moved and impressed by the experience that I wanted to get involved. And I knew a couple of board members that were on the Kansas City Hospice Board of Directors. And in 2013, because of them, they asked me to join the board, and so I did so. And then 14 months later, with a bit of twist of fate, I actually joined the organization as staff, and I became the chief operating officer in 2014, and then the CEO, like you said, in 2016. And I just love my job, and it's been an incredible journey. It's an honor and a privilege to lead and support more than 350 employees to do this important work every day.
Well, and you just do an excellent job, and they're lucky to have you. And I know that you're really proud of your entire organization, and you just do such great work. And we'd just like to thank you for everything that you and your staff does. It's fantastic work. It's difficult work, and so that's great. And hopefully this will continue for years to come. So your mom was cared for, like you said, beautifully cared for at the Kansas City Hospice House, which is one of two inpatient hospice houses owned and managed and operated by Kansas City Hospice. But you also care for people in their homes, isn't that right? And can you tell us more about that?
You know, absolutely, Steve. And yes, we do. We have several programs that provide end-of-life care, and that includes hospice, as we've mentioned, but we say we do that at home. We also provide palliative home health care and also our advanced illness support program, and all of those are designed to support folks in their home wherever they call home. So, and our goal is to help people live comfortably with a high quality of life as they age and as their end-of-life symptoms change. And so it's important to consider how caregiver family members can be supported as their loved one progresses. And this includes providing skilled care so family members don't have to take everything on and can be, you know, just a son or a granddaughter or just part of the family.
Are you able to do everything in a person's home that you do in an inpatient facility like a hospice house? And can you share how those services differ or maybe how one setting might be better suited for certain situations?
Sure. We are able to provide a full scope of multidisciplinary services to patients and their families in the home. And that's everything from skilled nursing, social work, personal care provided by our certified nursing assistants, as well as chaplain support, and sometimes even a physician or a nurse practitioner. They're all part of the team. It's important to help family members anticipate and plan for how their loved ones' needs will change as they progress during their time with us. It could mean planning for a transition to the hospice house when someone's needs become more complex and the family feels that it could be best met in another setting. It's also about helping each family anticipate the needs of their loved one and also their own needs and limitations as caregivers. And it also could mean for some that are most comfortable just continuing at home in their death. And what we try to do and our goal is support the wishes of the patient and the family and really provide that right level of support based on their goals of care. And we strive to ensure their loved ones are comfortable and ensure that their own peace of mind as a family member is really top of mind.
Okay. All right. And how can people know what the right answer is for their loved one and for their family when it comes to making those choices?
You know, it's a great question. And I think it touches on an important viewpoint about hospice, which is that the answer to what each family needs is frankly unique to each family. So, you know, our model and the hospice model allows us to offer this interdisciplinary team of support. It encompasses the physical and medical care needs, but it also the emotional and spiritual needs. And Kansas City Hospice, we offer the most comprehensive array of options in our community, which allows us to work with each family and then tailor their care options and their decisions based on their needs and, of course, their wishes. So they don't have to make the decision alone. A lot of times our team works really hard to listen, have conversations, and try to figure out and, ask the right questions to help provide a bit of guidance, but through listening. I think that's the most important thing that we can do.
Okay. And, the second you hear the word Kansas City Hospice House, I mean, immediately you think of Kansas City Hospice, and obviously you've had the Hospice House for many, many years, and now you have a second one. Now, that second one is up north Kansas City, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called the North Care Hospice House, and it's located inside North Kansas City Hospital, and it's on their second level there, and it's its own unit. It has a beautiful setting, I think. There's a courtyard, and all of the rooms you can see outside, and so folks are able to go outside, and it's a beautiful setting. So it's different than the Kansas City Hospice House, but it's perfect for that setting.
Okay, and then I always love it when you say that hospice can be provided wherever you call home. And so it can be in someone's home, apartment, maybe an assisted living community,
sure,
or maybe even at a nursing home. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's wherever our patients call home. Just like you said, it can be in a variety of settings, and I think that's important for people to know. So they should learn as much about hospice as they can early on so they can plan for the future.
All right. And so to learn more about hospice, visit kchospice.org. It's a tremendous website, and there's a lot of information there. So be sure to check that out. And now the Senior Care Live question of the week. This is a true false. Hospice care looks the same for each family. Is that statement true or false? We'll have the answer coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit seniorcarelive.com. And you can stream this program to any electronic device. Super simple. Go to seniorcarelive.com. And you can also stream the program through the app at radio.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. Hospice care looks the same for each family. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is...
The answer, Steve, is false. The interdisciplinary care team model ensures that the needs of each family member can be addressed, but it's in a way that's unique to them.
Okay, so now, do you set up like a care plan or like a customized approach for each patient and family when you deliver your care?
Absolutely. There's an individual plan of care that's developed by our team that's specifically focused on that patient, so that we understand what their needs are. Their disease progression will be different based on their, why they're on our service. And so, yep, it's completely individualized. And not only does it set up front, but it's also, it changes over time based on how the needs of the patient and the family change when they're on our service.
Okay. That's incredible. What a great approach. And then, you know, what works for someone, you know, that may look very different with someone else, especially maybe given some family or maybe cultural differences.
For sure. It's very important for our teams to listen, be there in the moment, and like you said, understand their families. You know, sometimes there's unique family dynamics. We all have them. Yep. So we work really hard to make sure that we can address all of those and be supportive.
All right. David, what words of wisdom can you offer to families in the community who want to prepare for the needs of their aging parents or maybe other aging family members?
Well, you know, confronting age, it's difficult for all of us, but it's natural, it's inevitable, and a season that really can be enjoyed. So I encourage people to think ahead about what their family members might need as they age and talk with their loved one about their hopes to be part of their life. I know for me personally, my mom's, advanced directive was really important for us at her end of life. She was in complete control. You know, we knew what her wishes were, and I thought that was it was really important and helpful to me and all of my siblings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I try to encourage folks to remember it's not just about the physical symptoms of an illness or aging, but though that's important, it's also about spiritual and emotional needs and preventing loneliness or feelings of isolation and helping someone carry out their interests with them as they age. And finally, I would encourage people to think about their own needs as caregivers. So as an aging family member's needs grow, it becomes easy to forget about your own needs, but your whole person must also be cared for. And this is so important to ensuring that you don't suffer from caregiver burnout, that you stay healthy and present to be able to continue to enjoy your time and make memories with your loved one as they age.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something that's very easy to put off. And so, we're definitely on the same page. Just try to be proactive. Don't put it off. Have the difficult conversations. You'll be so glad you did. Isn't that right, David?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can remember, I carried that piece of paper with me every single day. I had it in my pocket at those critical moments. And I literally read it probably 150 times, but having it in her own writing, it meant the world to me. And in the end, and reflecting back, I'm just so grateful that I was able to fulfill, and we as a family, and I have a large family. I have five brothers and sisters but to be able to, fulfill somebody else's wishes is really, I think it's honorable and it's important. So absolutely what you said, Steve.
Absolutely. That is great. And so Kansas City Hospice has helped thousands of families in their end of life journey. And as someone whose loved one was cared for by Kansas City Hospice, and now, as someone who leads the work for the organization, can you share more about how someone impacted or inspired by this work can give back?
You know, there's a lot of different ways, Steve. And I think one thing that I would tell you is, like me, I was a family member. I was inspired. I was moved. So I became a volunteer. And we have hundreds of volunteers, and most of our volunteers come to us because they've been impacted by the work that we do. So I think that's one way. Another way is to get involved, financially, because some folks, they like to think about giving their legacy to nonprofit organizations, which I think is really, really important. And we can have conversations about that. That's another way where somebody, frankly, is in charge of their legacy. They're in charge of what they want to, how they want to be remembered. So I think that can be great. For example, there's ways to support us specifically, and I'm going to tell you about a great event coming up next weekend on Sunday, October 11th. We're hosting our annual fundraising event. It's called Sunday Night Live. And last year, the community, they raised more than $450,000. Wow. And that's to ensure that we can say yes to families in need. And that's regardless of their resources. So folks that can't pay for services or don't have insurance or Medicare, we still take care of them regardless of that. So this year's event, it's completely virtual, and that's a great way to relax and unwind in the comfort of your home. Attendance is free to Sunday Night Live, and you just simply need to pre-register at kchospice.org/SNL, and the SNL stands for Sunday Night Live. So it's a fun event, and people can participate. You can buy raffle tickets. We have we have 10 raffle packages. They're all valued greater than $1,000. Those tickets are $50 a piece or six for $250. And we also have some really cool silent auction items, and we're doing that online this year. So people can check it out really in privacy and check it out at home. So it's kind of fun.
That must be a lot of work to put that together virtually.
You know, I'm proud of our development team. They've turned on a dime and they're making it happen. But I think they're breathing, they're living, breathing, eating, sleeping, and dreaming about it right now. So we're ready we'll be ready for the 12th when it comes.
and you know, it's just such a great event, such a well done event. But you mentioned in the past, you know, there are a lot of folks who would love to attend, but maybe they're out of town or they just can't mm-hmm. make it. So this set really opens that up for them and all people to attend this year. So I think it's a positive thing. So
it's great. And we'll have people from all over the nation, I bet. So join us. Please do.
Absolutely. So thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to that event. I'll definitely be there virtually. And for our listeners, if you want to get involved, maybe buy some raffle tickets, kchospice.org/SNL. David, do you have a few minutes to stay with us through the third segment or into the third segment?
Absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay, yeah, let's just continue that conversation. Have a few more questions for you. So for our listeners, don't go away. We'll have a whole lot more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget to check out our podcasts of every single episode of this program at seniorcarelive.com. All right, David, so thanks so much for being generous with your time today. I just didn't want to rush through that Sunday Night Live. I just wanted to visit about that a little bit longer. So let's make this like really, really official. We are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and that's a heck of a milestone.
You know, it is a big milestone, Steve. It's so important. And you're right. We served our very first patient on November 3rd, 1980. Wow. And it's been an incredible journey since then. And so we're looking forward to this event this year, Sunday Night Live, to, you know, turn it into an anniversary celebration because it's an important milestone for our company.
And who would ever have thought that this one had to go viral because of virtual because of a pandemic?
Exactly. Well, the one good thing about it is you don't have to worry about the weather. And so that's a benefit. But like I said before, the team's working really hard. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for folks to be entertained and to hear about our progress and not only about the past, but how we're looking forward, too.
All right. And so usually Sunday Night Live for the past, you said it's been going on this particular celebration for about 15 years. And it's I think it's your premier fundraising event of the year. You've been holding that at the Power and Light District downtown, right?
Yeah, our gala or our fundraiser, you're right, have been in existence for 15 or 16 years, and we've had it focused on certain ways. And we used to do kind of a hotel event, you know, with the auction and all that stuff, and some entertainment. And we decided just about 5 years ago to move it downtown, and we moved it to a Sunday night, and that allows folks to, as many folks as possible can attend on a Sunday night, so it's a little bit less busy sometimes for folks, and we get together and have a good time. And this year we're going to do the same thing, just do it virtually. So it's going to be a great time, I think.
All right. And so you mentioned that last year you were able to raise over $450,000, which is just fantastic. Give us an idea of what the funds are used for, because I know that you don't say no to anyone. I mean, if someone does not have the resources for hospice services, you're able to provide those through fundraising events like this. So can you give us an example of you know, maybe a patient or family that you're able to serve using some of these donations to kind of help offer that service?
You know, sure, Steve. You know, the one that you mentioned right off the top is a big one. And that's last year we had just about $600,000 in Cherry Care. And that's for, you know, folks that are unable, they don't have the resources to pay. And so I think the beautiful thing is that we provide just the same level of care, the same level of compassion and expertise, regardless of people's station in life. And that's important to who we are as a nonprofit organization. We have several programs that either don't generate revenue, meaning we offer them to the community free of charge. So we've talked about our Solace House, which is a center for grief and healing, which can be really important to people. Mm-hmm. During the summer, we do children's camps. We do a kids camp in June that's free of charge. It's called Camp Aaron. And that allows, you know, little ones who are experiencing grief to get together to have a fun camp weekend, but also get grief support over that weekend. And they leave that weekend knowing, you know, that they're not the only ones facing, you know, grief in their life. And so that's great. We do Camp Carousel, and that's for families to come together for a camp weekend in the fall. So those are just a few examples of different programs that we offer that are free of charge to folks, and they make a difference in their life, and we're super proud of that.
That is excellent. And so for our listeners, if you're wanting to get involved here, Kansas City Hospice is a nonprofit organization. They are just an absolute jewel in our community. We're very fortunate to have them serving patients and families here in our community. If you want to get involved, first of all, David mentioned earlier, jump in and volunteer. That's how David started with this. I mean, his mother, his family were, you know, they were involved. His mother was a patient, and then it was such a positive experience as far as just being impressed with the beautiful and wonderful care that she received, that he was really motivated to volunteer, and then just got more involved, and now he's the president and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. So, you know, maybe you've lost a loved one, or maybe you would like to get involved. Jump in and volunteer. Now, David, should they just, if someone said, you know what, I want to do that, is it best just to call, or do you go to the website, or how would you raise your hand and say, David, I want to help?
Sure. You know, either way, Steve, if folks want to call our number, which is 816-363-3600, that's 2600, that's 816-363-2600, or go onto our website. There's a tab for volunteer services, and they can look at a variety of ways. And we always work hard to match up, you know, an interest with folks to help us out. So that's a great suggestion, Steve.
Excellent, excellent. And then if you're like me, I'm definitely going to buy some raffle tickets on some of these trips. One of them was to, a sunny beach. My wife would love that, but I'm definitely buying some raffle tickets. And I think you've had some different, really interesting packages do you know about some of the packages that are going to be that are up for bid?
Sure. They range from trips, like you mentioned. So there's a Santa Fe vacation stay that's terrific. There's a Puerto Vallarta paradise, a house, a beach with a pool, which is terrific. There's if you like to drive, there's an Aspen summer getaway. There's a Branson getaway. There's a really cool Chiefs package. There's a great golf package. There's a foodie tour. If you like fine wine, we have a fine wine raffle package. And there's even one called Diamond Delight. So there's 10 different raffle packages that I think mm-hmm. are terrific. And then there's actually 30 different silent auction items that you can bid on. And once you register, you can bid on those, and it'll send you a text message and let you know when your bid is out of I've done it. So it tells you if somebody's outbid you. So like Pizza of the Year is a great example. So there's some real fun, some real cool Chiefs signed autographed things. So it's kind of, there's something for everybody for sure.
Excellent. I have my eye on that Puerto Vallarta getaway. So I'm going to be contributing some money toward that raffle. So that'll be great. So and what a major fundraiser. And you have other fundraising. We've talked about Mustache Month, and we have a lot of fun with some of these. But it's all for a very good cause, very serious cause, very worthy cause. And but this is the big one of the year. And even if you can't go down to Power and Light, well, don't do that because we won't be there.
Right.
We're trying to be we're trying to be safe and healthy and all that. It's going to be online. And so if you'd like to attend this event, it's a spectacular event. It's going virtual this year. All you have to do is pre-register at kchospice.org/SNL. That stands for Sunday Night Live. And David, when you pre-register, then do you receive a link, or how do you actually connect?
Yeah, absolutely. Once you're registered, you will receive a link. There's no charge to attend the event. There's, of course, different levels of possibilities for different packages in terms of financially supporting if that interests you. But to learn more about us and tune in for that hour, it's 6 o'clock on October 11th. So they will receive a link, and it will give you all the details.
All right, so 6 p.m., and this is Sunday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, October the 11th. And again, you can pre-register at kchospice.org/SNL. All right, David, thanks so much for staying with us a little longer today and talking about Sunday Night Live. And congratulations on 40 years providing excellent hospice and palliative care services for patients and their families throughout our region. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much, you and your entire organization.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. And we're looking forward to having people tune in on Sunday, October 11th. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. And I'll definitely be in attendance. So we'll see you there, David. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So I really enjoyed that. And again, the KC Hospice major event, Sunday Night Live, is a virtual event Sunday evening at 6 p.m., October the 11th. And to attend that, just get pre-registered at kchospice.org/SNL. I'll have more coming up.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-332-7000.
1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by. 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. All right, so I spoke with two clients this past week, and both of them asked me the same question because we were discussing long-term care as the right level of care for their loved ones. And then they asked, well, wait a minute, do we need long-term care or should we consider memory care? And so that always, that's a very common question. And the gentleman I was thinking of specifically, he's a very smart man. So he understands, but he's been given, I guess, the wrong information. And frankly, I think in our marketplace and possibly nationally, the term memory care is just not being used properly. So as I reflected on my conversation with David Wiley in Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, David always says that hospice is a type of care that can be offered and provided for their patients wherever their patients call home. And so I thought, you know what, that's a great way to describe that. So hospice care is a special type of care that can be provided in your home. It can be provided at your house, at your apartment. It can be provided to you if you're living in an assisted living community or even a nursing home. And obviously it can be provided at the KC Hospice House and then their other KC Hospice House up north in the North KC Hospital. So it is a type of care, a special type of care that can be provided in all sorts of different locations. Well, memory care, that's the same concept. Memory care is a special type of care that can be provided wherever you call home. And I'm glad I kind of put the two and two together. And I think this makes it really, really simple to understand. So memory care is a special type of care for residents and individuals with some type of cognitive impairment. So typically that would include, you know, some form of dementia. It could be Alzheimer's. The cognitive impairment could be a residual effect from having a stroke. It could be related to Parkinson's disease. There are a lot of different things that could lead to cognitive impairment. If someone, I've heard the term chemo brain, which is a terrible result of chemotherapy, and that somehow has an effect on your cognitive abilities, and you come out of cancer treatment with basically with memory loss and the issues surrounding that. So there are a lot of different ways. The most common would be, you know, some form of dementia, Alzheimer's, etc. So memory care can be provided in your home. You could have a home care service that specializes in caring for cognitively impaired residents, and that can be provided in your home. But if you need to move to a senior care community, such as an assisted living community, you may move to a home plus level of care, which I mentioned that last week on Peter Newman's show on Moneyline. That was a great time visiting with Peter last Saturday. But I talked about home plus. He was asking about, hey, what do you think about these homes? And it's literally a house where they care for people. And that's the home plus level of care. And it is literally a ranch style type of a house. It could be an existing house that's been renovated or remodeled to care for 8 to maybe 12 residents, or it could be a brand new construction. So it could be a newly built ranch style home with all of the kind of modern amenities, et cetera. And obviously that doesn't need remodel because they're building it to specification. So that entire building is dedicated to caring for residents with cognitive impairment. So again, memory care at the assisted living level of care, memory care at the home plus level of care, and you can have memory care at that long-term care, also known as a nursing home level of care. So typically you're going to have a building and it is going to, let's just use the number of 100. Okay, so you could have maybe 80 residents in you know, three quarters of the building receiving just general care. I just call it, that's what I call it, just general everyday care and support throughout the majority of the building. And they care for residents with all types of needs, including mild dementia, early stages of Alzheimer's, who, you know, so these folks are getting along, but they need help with, you know, with some things, and they have a little bit of memory loss, but they're still functioning pretty well. And then as they begin to decline and have more needs and more issues, and maybe they become an elopement risk, or, and there could be, you know, lots of other issues. Maybe they decline to the point where they now require memory care. Well, not all of the communities in our area, but some of them do offer very specific memory care, and it's a part of the building. Let's say the other 25% of that building that would accommodate 20 residents. So it's typically always generally a smaller space, and that's for a reason. We want less stimulation. So, you know, 20 residents, you know, compared to maybe 80 or 100 residents throughout the rest of the building, that's just less people, less noise, less things going on, and you know, fewer distractions, less stimulation. That's what we want. The smaller space, maybe a 30-foot long hallway is easier to deal with a 100-foot long hallway. So it's just less intimidating. It's less daunting. There are also codes on the doors, because it's very common for an individual with cognitive impairment to either wander. So you're walking around and wonder what's going on outside. So you kind of wander away from the building. You could put yourself unintentionally into harm's way. So if, for example, you could walk outside, it's 0 degrees, it's 100 degrees. You could walk out into traffic, all sorts of issues where you don't have the ability or understanding to know that, hey, this is a bad idea or this is a dangerous situation. So you have codes on the doors, so you can't get out. You can certainly leave the space. You just need to be accompanied for your own safety and security. And then you have activity programming that's different. Instead of an hour-long activity, you might have a 20 or 30-minute long activity. So you have more activities, shorter time frames, and there's generally more staff, typically in the memory care portion of that community. They're trained in redirection, and they expect something that's called sundowning. So this is fairly typical with cognitively impaired residents who have Alzheimer's disease. Now, this may not be always true, but many of them will have sundowning where late afternoon, early evening, they appear to become more confused, disoriented, more irritated, maybe even highly agitated. They have a lot of nervous energy that they kind of need to burn off. And so they're trained to deal with all of these things. And again, that's a special type of care, just like hospice is a type of care that can be provided at many levels of care, including in your home. So hopefully that makes it a little more understandable and less confusing. Again, I think the term memory care is just misused in our marketplace, and I'm pretty sure it's misused throughout the entire country, actually. So hopefully that helps. If you have questions about that, you could always reach me at my firm, Senior Care Consulting, at 913-945-2800. And if you need help searching for the right senior care community, we do that around here 24 hours a day. That's all we do. All right. Again, thanks to David Wiley with KC Hospice for being my guest today and spending a lot of extra time with us today. I really appreciated that. Really enjoyed this program today. All right. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week right here on Senior Care Live.
T-Mobile T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.